Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of we're broadcasting out of the studios of KKNW in Bellevue on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle in the United States. But we're actually at the Inn in the Gig Harbor having a wonderful conference called the Galactic Wisdom Conference. We started a little early today, so I could get my wonderful presenters here on the air. We had a little trouble with Skype, so we're switching just to a regular phone line. But it's a wonderful conference, and I have lots of wonderful, fun people to introduce you to today. We are one of the top-rated radio shows on KKNW in the Seattle area, and we are also the fastest-growing psychic and UFO radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. We're also supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the Donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I also have a new column on my webpage called Ask Ted. If you have any questions on spiritual matters, please go to our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Go to About Us and then just click on the right side, Ask Ted for spiritual help. Anything I can do to you for help you out, I'd love to do it for free. The purpose of my program and this conference is to raise human consciousness, to make this world a better place to live, and with everyone's help, I know we can make this planet a better place. Today is Free Friday. So for those in the Puget Sound area within driving distance of Gig Harbor, today's free. You get free readings, free psychic readings, free spiritual healings this evening. Also, too, there's free food for people from 5 to 7 p.m. provided by the conference by myself. And from now until about 4 o'clock, you can be part of a live audience, radio audience, if you like. So if you'd like, just come on down. It's you go across the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, take the second exit off the freeway, come up to the T, take a left, and then take the first right. But before we introduce my guests, I want to thank everyone who's worked so hard to make this conference a big success, including my dear friend Carol Olmsted, who's been designing the website and made a whole bunch of really great flyers for the program today, Michiko Hayashi and her friend Dr. Yasu Nimoto, who's flown in from Tokyo for the Immortal Peace Project to give presentations today, give presentations actually tomorrow at the conference. Michiko Hayashi is getting to be world famous. She's flying from here after the conference to South America, where she'll be giving a presentation before 3,000 people in Santiago, Chile. This is how popular the Immortal Peace Project is abroad, and you can have a chance to meet her in person today or tomorrow or Sunday at the conference. So it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. Today, again, is Free Friday, and if you come in tomorrow, if you want to just come for the day, it's $97, or for the weekend, it's $197. Before we introduce my guests, also, I just want to say that I will also be there's a chance I'll be doing another one of these in the fall as well. Anyway, without further ado, I just want to thank everyone for being here and apologize again for our technical difficulties. Before I start, I want to introduce our wonderful speakers here. We have Teresa Carroll, a wonderful Seattle psychic who's also a spiritual healer as well. She's been doing this for decades. How long you've been a psychic, Carol?
As a professional full-time psychic, it's been 30 years as of April 1st.
That's fantastic. Well, Carol's a wonderful person, and if you can come today, you'll be able to meet who I think one of the best psychics around here, certainly, and she really does a wonderful job for people. We are also blessed with having a gentleman from Japan named Ihan Derave. He's one of the world's best remote viewers, and I hope I've pronounced your name correctly, Ihan. I hope I have.
Nobody pronounces the name correctly. Or spells it right either. But don't be worrying about it. Ehan. Yeah. Lovely to be here. Thank you for having us. And we look forward to meeting everybody.
Good. I'm going to just go through our wonderful speakers today, and then we'll start one by one giving a little presentation. I have a wonderful lady in front of me named Phoenix Redhawk. She has her own shamanistic spiritual healing center on Long Island, New York. She just flew in a couple days ago from New York. I know her arms are tired from the long flight. She flew in today. My goodness. Did you take a night flight overnight? No, she took
on that room.
And she does have red eyes, so she took a red eye flight last night, this morning. But anyway, she's a wonderful person, and I'd love to if you could say a few words to my audience.
Yes. I thank Ted and everyone for having me here. I've been blessed with being on Ted Show about 3 times already. You've interviewed me, and each time people call, and they really touch my heart, and I feel so blessed to be able to help everyone that has called. And thank you for having me. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful. We're also very, very fortunate to have a very special gentleman here today, a Mr. Tanaka from Tokyo, Japan, who flew in with his friend Ihan. I said it right. Good, good. And from Tokyo, Mr. Tanaka is a very interesting gentleman. He's very interested in water issues. I was at a dinner with him and Ihan and several people from the Moto Peace Project with Professor Jerry Pollock at his place last night. And we had a most interesting conversation. Mr. Tanaka, would you like to say a few words to my audience?
Okay. Thank you for the RS people in the Pacific Northwest. I came from Japan, and I have been an ordinary businessman, and however, my friend Ehan took me, 7 months ago, different direction, so I happen to be seated here, so I'm very happy to feeling the different vibration from your people.
Oh, thank you. Good. Thank you, Mr. Tanaka. And we have also a very special guest, a dear friend of mine named Lois Berman. She's had her own wonderful radio talk show, psychic program in Boston, her own television radio television show in Boston. She is one of the best psychics I know of in North America, and I'm not exaggerating. She's so humble when I say that, she says. But she's very, very good. And for those who'd like to meet her today, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet some of the best psychics and the best UFO people, in the world today. And you can meet Lois. Lois, would you like to say a few words?
Thanks, Ted. It's very exciting to be here. And one of the lovely things that people have heard me on your radio show, and they have been very open and greeting and welcoming. The energy in this room is very exciting, and I really feel that all of the people here today are all being reconnected from other times. So come on down, people. Re-meet people. Meet new people. It's very exciting.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm going to give an opportunity for each of our wonderful speakers to introduce themselves further and give a short little speech, if I may. But I want to give everyone a taste. Now, the gentleman I have next to introduce is a gentleman named Jerry Wills. He's very short. He's only, seven and a half feet tall. and he's not, like the name of my radio program, he's out of this world, literally. He says he came here as a small boy from, is it Tau Ceta? Is that correct? Tau Ceta, city, city. Well, again, with Ihan, I was got close with the name of it. It's how long from here?
A little ways,
20 light years?
Yeah.
Not that far. Just down the road. Just down the road, if you have a spacecraft, you can get there probably in several minutes. But Jerry's specialty is healing people, and I saw with my own eyes, I met Jerry last October at an international UFO conference in Bergen, Norway, and I saw with my own eyes Jerry heal a Norwegian woman and take out the alien implants that had been in her for 30 or 40 years. And she was just ecstatic afterwards, and I saw with my own eyes. And that's why I invited Jerry back up again. Besides that, he and his wife are lovely people, and I urge you to come and meet Jerry. Jerry, would you like to say some words?
Thank you, Ted. You know, it's a privilege to have been invited here. And being here is something that I think the folks who are listening should contemplate. They should come. If they've been looking for the light, this is where they're going to find great abundances of that. Thank you for inviting me, and I really do look forward to meeting everyone who attends.
Wonderful. Well, and it's still not too late to attend the conference. I know we started things early today from 2 to 4 so that we would have a, people could be part of the Rut Live radio show. Officially, we're not supposed to start until about 4 or 5. And both Ehan and I will be giving an opening speech at the beginning in a couple of hours. What's your name, sir? Are you a speaker here?
No, I just bummed a rat here and dropped him off the bus.
People come off the street, you know. What's security around here like anyway? How did he get in? No, I'm just joking. This is Scott Lemriel, and most of the time he's a nice guy. No, he's a nice guy. And Scott's got a very unique story. He's been in face-to-face contact with the what's called the Galactic Alliance for the past 54 years. He's introduced me to his friend, Ambassador Torelli, of the Galactic Alliance. And I've learned so many things from Scott and his friends from out of town, as he likes to call them. And I'd like to hear, Scott, in your own words, please, I'd like to introduce you to my audience.
Thanks, Ted. I've been on your show a number of times now. This one's special. I'm delighted to be here with everybody. It's always a pleasure for me to greet the other presenters when I can, when I first meet them, and everybody in person. For me, it's a great privilege to do what I do now at these things because I endeavor to share with people how to connect with purposefully hidden truth on a grand cosmic multidimensional scale and experience the much greater knowing of the expanse of love within it that they've been deprived most of their lives on this planet. There's a safe way to do that, and I will be bringing that to the conference, too, for everybody. So thank you, Ted, for having me. Here's your phone back.
Okay. Thanks. We're still having, I'm still trying to get on Skype so we have a better connection, but we'll keep talking on the phone until we can reestablish a better connection. We also have a very special gentleman named Dr. Yasu Nemoto, who is the chief scientist of the Modal Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. Dr. Nemoto, or Yasu, as I like to call him, is a very nice gentleman, very friendly, but highly, highly educated. You have how many PhDs do you have? Only one. Well, we only accept people at the conference who have two PhDs. Well, I guess it was mistakes are made. Well, anyway, I'm glad he's here. Would you like to say a few words to my audience, Yasu?
Yeah. Thank you, Ted. My name is Yasuki Nemoto. I have been working for Dr. Emoto for the past maybe 13 years as a international secretary to Dr. Emoto. And also I'm in charge of the scientific aspect of Dr. Emoto's work. And tomorrow I will explain about the connection between Dr. Emoto's work called Message from Water and the New Science of Water. Yeah, that's my job here. Thank you very much.
Fascinating. We'll have Yasu or Dr. Nemoto on in a few minutes to talk about his fascinating work. And for those interested in, he will be giving a presentation along with Michiko Hayashi, who is the worldwide head of the Modal Peace Project. And Michiko, could you please introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little bit about your wonderful work?
Sure, Ted. Thank you so much for inviting me here. It's just so wonderful to be here with all these people and all the people who are hoping for peace on this planet Earth have gathered here at this place, at this lovely place, and I feel so honored to be here. What I do is I am teaching children and the people about the importance of water, and what it does is it has a memory, and the good thought that we have, a good thought or bad thought, would affect water, and we are 70% water. So knowing what water does to ourselves and to this universe, to this earth, is very important, and that's what I'm trying to teach to everyone around the world. And that's what I do as part of the Modal Peace Project. Thank you.
Well, we'll have you on in a few minutes again, Michiko, to talk about your wonderful work. And last but not least, I also want to thank our many vendors who are here as well. I'd like to bring them on in a little while, perhaps toward the end of my second hour, just to talk about the work and kinds of things that they offer. I also want to thank the Tacoma News Tribune for providing widespread coverage of the event on page A1 of the paper last Monday, and also the Oregonian paper in Portland, Oregon, for giving us a good write-up in their paper last Friday, as well as the Gig Harbor paper locally here. And I've worked very hard with the media and trying to get the story out, and I so appreciate the coverage that the Tacoma News Tribune, the Oregonian, and the local paper here in Gig Harbor have provided for this wonderful conference. So I'd like to bring on Teresa Carroll first, if she could. Teresa, could you explain a little bit about your work and the kinds of things you do for people in 25 words or less? No. Yeah. 10 minutes. 10 minutes so we can get everybody in. We've got 2 hours already.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm local, so many of the wonderful people coming in today are from all over the world, and it's kind of exciting to have this cross-cultural and international type of event. My name is Teresa Carroll, and I have been a professional intuitive for the last 30 years. My focus is helping people who are ready to help themselves. Now, you noticed I mentioned those that are ready to help themselves. It's important that each of us realize that we have freedom of choice, and so my focus is in empowering people, helping people look at what is available to them in their lives and showing them how to take that information and utilize it for their own wellness and their own personal empowerment. Is it on? Oh, okay. So I guess we have a mic here that they're setting up. So, okay. So one of the things I like to do is I have this wonderful gift of seeing auras, seeing spirits. I like to help people really take the magic back into life, to look at what would your life be like if instead of doing a performance, instead of doing what you think you need to do, you began to live magically. You began to live with that level of serendipity of expecting and creating a world in which everything flows towards a higher purpose. In 1985, I started my work after a major trauma where I had almost died of cancer of the colon. And when I came out of that, I came out with a healing that not only healed my physical body, but healed me emotionally and spiritually. And I see into other dimensions. And so one of the things I do with that is I just gather information to help people understand and to navigate their lives so that they can have more of the joy. I travel internationally. I've been to 29 countries, and in those 29 countries, I make it a habit of working with shamans and spiritual teachers. My love has always been in shamanism and in following what we would say the great divine. I see energy in people. I see their potential, and I see what their life course is supposed to be. And often I will sit with a person and try to look at what can they do to become more empowered, more fulfilled in their life. Now, this conference here is really exciting because it's the beginning of a wave of a time that we live in. Over the last 20, 30 years, we've heard of the Indigo Children. We've heard of the Rainbow Children. We've heard of the Crystalline Children. And we've all been kind of wondering, why are the children that are coming into our reality not conforming? Why are they so difficult to get along with? Why do they want to do it their way? And what we're finding is that, hold on just a minute. Your phone's ringing?
Right. The phone's buzzing and buzzing.
Okay. So these Indigo Children, these children are coming for a new paradigm. They're coming because we're going to shift our reality. And so one of the things that's exciting for all of us is that we here and now can be part of this change. We can make sure that we can support these children. Now, think about this. In the physical world, we have a tendency to be logical
But in the spiritual world, we have a tendency just to be aware. These children are transitioning our awareness from logic into sensual awareness. So everything in their reality will be about touch and sensuality. And when we're looking at how we look at things, we either touch onto them or we work with them on a physical touch level, or we begin to be sensual with them, to dance with them, to sense them, to interact with them. And then we can move into that intuitive state where there's the aha, the knowing. And it's still a physical touch state, but it's a very nebulous touch state. And so with the new paradigm that's coming, everything in our reality will become more sensually minded. Notice our computers. Notice our phones. We hold them in our hands. We touch them on the screens. We don't... Some of us, I was born in 1955, so this year I'm going to be the big 60. We remember when you had to go find the phone and there was only one in the house. And then the great day when we had those wonderful long cords that were a mile long and you could wrap around everything and they were all in a snarl at the bottom of the phone. Remember those days? Well, now everyone has a phone. It's in their pocket. It's with them. It's in their iPad. It's on their computer. We live in such an extraordinary world, and the children that are coming in now are coming in to help us with that evolution. I'm going to be back to Ted. I look forward to seeing you. Come on down to the Galactic Wisdom Conference. We're having a great time here.
Thank you so much, Teresa, for giving that wonderful wonderful talk. We had some trouble with Skype before. I've since had the wonderful hotel staff here connect me to Skype through an internet connection. Eric, why don't we play? Go ahead and we'll play a promotional for a moment and see if we can get on Skype. And if we can't get on Skype, we'll continue with the telephone. But I prefer Skype. It's a better connection when it works.
Get ready to raise your vibrational frequency. Tune in every Thursday, 12 noon, for Conquest Consciousness. I'm Jacqueline Conquest, metaphysician with over 30 years professional private practice. Each week, we'll talk dreams, energy medicine, psychic phenomena, UFOs, and more, and have exciting guests on the cutting edge of heart expansion and the timely evolution in consciousness. For more information, visit JacquelineConquestMystic.com. That's Conquest Consciousness every Thursday at noon.
Needing some inspiration, motivation, more creative flow, or want to remove blocks to unleash your full potential and manifest abundance in your life? Whether it's a new business venture, discovering your life's purpose, or attracting your soulmate, let Jacqueline Conquest, psychotherapist and hypnotherapist, help you get instant results. Call 206-303-9482 and visit JacquelineConquestMystic.com for more information.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hello, friends. We're back on the air again. And for those who are just calling in, just listening in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington. And actually, today we are having the program actually at the end of Gig Harbor in Gig Harbor, Washington, and we're broadcasting simultaneously through Skype through the studios worldwide on the internet. I want to welcome everyone to listening to the show. We have a very, very special conference this weekend for those who are just tuning in. It's called the Galactic Wisdom Conference. It's going on today, tomorrow, and on Sunday. March 6th, 7th, and 8th in Gig Harbor, Washington. It's very easy to get here. It's only 10 minutes from Tacoma or 40 minutes from downtown Seattle. And if you're flying from Tokyo, it takes, what, 8 or 9 hours to get here? Not long. If you left Tokyo, if you're in Tokyo now and you caught the next flight, you could be here by tomorrow morning for tomorrow morning sessions. Or if you're in London or somewhere in Stockholm, Sweden, where we have people listening actually in Sweden now, if you hopped on the next flight, you could make it for tomorrow's session as well. And I'll even buy you a cup of coffee, too. Happy to, my expense. Anyway, but anyway, from now until 4, we'll be broadcasting live from the Inn at Gig Harbor studio here, or the ballroom here. And after that, we'll be giving an opening speech, followed by free food. Yes, free food from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., followed by free psychic. Yes, free psychic and free spiritual healings with some of the world's best here in the ballroom. So please invite you all down. I'd like to turn the microphone over to Ihan.
That's good.
Ihan, yes. He's from Tokyo. He's one of the world's best remote viewers and a very interesting gentleman. I'd like to go ahead and give him the mic.
Hello, everybody in the room and outside of the room. The correct pronunciation of my name is Ihan. But I doubt if any of you will be able to do that. So you can say Ehan, as they call me in Japan, because they don't have that particular combination of vowels and consonants, kh. Because we say loch in Scotland, L-O-C-H. So it's Ehan. And the origin of the word Ehan will take me far too long to explain. So let's try just practicing the pronunciation all together.
Ehan.
Pretty good. I'm here by complete and utter coincidence. I'm not a speaker at this wonderful event. Ted and I connected through the power of the internet, and previous to that, the connection came from the Emoto Peace Project. Because about the year 2000, I was Dr. Emoto's interpreter. So my job was to stand on stage with him on his North American tour. We did Canada and the U.S. We did about 5 cities in all. And it was my job to communicate his message in English, which was a lot of fun. And we had a grand time traveling around North America together. And so I know these good folks from the Emoto Peace Project, including Dr. Nemoto over here, who calls himself Dr. Not Emoto, so that you'll remember who he is. And Hayashi-san, I met in Tokyo just about a week ago. We reconvened at Dr. Emoto's funeral, which was held in October of last year. And so I would have to say that it's thanks to him that I'm really here today. The message from water was actually translated by my wife. Volume number 2 was translated by my wife, Sonia, who, interestingly enough, also translated Indigo Children, which was just announced by Teresa. So there's some weird connections between us all here. I'm not a speaker, as I said. I'll be doing a wee announcement later on with Ted. But as a very brief background as to why I've spent my life in Japan, which is the truth, 41 years, which led to all of this. I traveled to Japan in 1974 in order to enter a Zen monastery, because I'd done my research in my teens, and I'd been on the road for many years traveling the world, and I'd immersed myself in Sufism and Hinduism, and what for me as a Western person meant something more intriguing than the traditional offer that we were given through our religion in the West. And I realized in Afghanistan in 1970, when I read Dr. Daisetsu Teitaru Suzuki's book on Zen, I realized that's it. I've now found the open door that I've been looking for, and I quickly found myself in Kyoto to study Zen. And that's how I ended up in Japan. I've remained there ever since. The first 15 years was martial arts, oriental medicine, and Zen. And of course, learning the ridiculously difficult language called Japanese, where you have to learn three alphabets just to learn to read a newspaper. And then you have to learn a whole social hierarchical system of communication, which takes decades. And so I figured I'm just kind of getting a handle on the language after 40 years. So we warp forward to the 90s, at which point I have a quote-unquote contact experience, which completely fused my brain for the next 15 years, trying to figure out what it was I was witnessing in the skies of Victoria, British Columbia, every night for 8 years. And the result of those meetings, let's say, or those communications, was I tried to find out what it was, what it meant, what could it be. And that led me into many different fields of inquiry, including physics, anthropology, psychology, psychiatry, medicine. I'm also a practitioner of Oriental medicine, or I was. And that led me to becoming a writer, which led to me becoming a lecturer in Japanese on the subject of new paradigm research. And the idea that our planetary community is now entering a phase of accelerated chaos. And I think we're all aware of the fact that it's accelerating as we speak. So on that lovely note, we'll finish and pass it on to the next person. All right? Okay. There you go.
Ehan, thank you so much for joining your words of wisdom with us today. I really appreciate it. And I know your arms are also very tired from the long flight from Tokyo. But thank you for so much. And one thing I wanted to mention, too, we will be having Dr. Susan Shumsky coming on by Skype on Sunday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Seattle time. Dr. Shumsky Susan Shumsky from New York City is considered the world's authority on chakras and auras. And if you've had, for example, a broken heart or you need to heal a relationship, she can help you heal your heart. And she does wonderful work in getting in touch with God and your spirit angels. And so I urge you to come and listen to what she has to say. And she's a wonderful, wonderful person. And I've had her on my show several times. Also, too, Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Seattle time here, we will be having Gordana Bernat from Sweden. She is the most famous inspirational thought leader in Europe. She has probably between 100 to 110,000 people following on Twitter. She has a lot of positive things to say. And for those who need a little bit of a positive direction in life, please come. I know you'll enjoy hearing her. And last but not least, we have some wonderful people on Sunday, including Emmanuel Eiter, French Hollywood film producer, has given me permission to give a private showing of his film, The Invocation. The Invocation has won numerous Academy Awards. It is considered the most spiritual film in the world, with interviews from the Dalai Lama and the late Dr. Masaru Emoto before he unfortunately passed on. But for those interested in spiritual guidance and in learning about higher spiritual realms, I urge you to see this film. And it's all part of the conference. If you want to come, today's free, but if you want to come like for tomorrow and Sunday, it's $197, or if you just want to come for the day, it's $97. And with that, I want to give the floor to Phoenix from wonderful shamanic healer.
The floor and the microphone and the headset and the whole deal here. Now I do feel like the space child I am, right? Ted, thank you so much for having me here. This is really amazing, a blessing, and he's adjusting me, folks, so bear with me. It's going to pop off my head.
Okay, that's fine.
It's okay. That's all right. So bear with me because I've been up since midnight Pacific time last night. Yeah, I woke up in New York at 3 a.m. to get here today, to be here early enough. So if I'm a little sleepy and wobbly, I have an excuse today, right? The fact that I'm here and Dr. Emoto is being honored truly touches my heart, because in the mid-90s, I worked at a hospital in New York, Stony Brook Hospital. And the department I worked in had a very strange name. It was Chronic Wellness, which is an interesting name for a hospital department. And Dr. Raja Jaber, who I worked with, an amazing, amazing woman, had just read Dr. Moto's book. And what we did with the water coolers in our suite was we took post-it notes and put love and peace, joy, health, nice. Balance all over it. And at the end of about 2 weeks, we took a survey from our patients. They felt better. They said the water tasted better after we put the post-it notes on it. And then we did a very mean thing. We took the post-it notes off. We didn't write anything on them. Look at the face I'm getting here. I can't look. I'm getting the look. The water tasted differently. People felt differently when they weren't drinking the water and had the post-it notes. So, you know, if you're in your home, if you're in your car, just remember, even if you just write it on with a marker, write it on your glass, write it on your bottle, you know, peace, love, it makes a tremendous, tremendous difference. My background, as I look back over my life, really started as a child, youngest of three daughters, and I was always the different one, which is not always a bad thing. And I started out realizing that I needed rhythm to function in my life. So being this middle-class Caucasian Jewish family, I heard Baba Alatunji playing the drums when I was around 15 or 16. My older sister, who I hope comes to the conference this weekend from San Diego, had turned on Murray the K, if any of you remember that. And I heard Baba Alatunji, and to me, that was a healing. It was like a coming home to me. So I drove my parents crazy to get his music, the vinyl, 33 and a third, really dating myself. And then I needed drums, and they didn't know about djembes, tubanos, etc. So I ended up with bongos and met these wonderful guys down in New York at the Rockaways who taught me basic rhythms. And to me, that was really my conscious part of my awakening into moving into the healing parts of my life. I've been a Reiki master teacher for close to 30, 35 years now. And through, I guess, simple ignorance, I didn't realize I was getting messages when I would work on people or animals. And one of my first clients, this lovely, lovely dog, Bradley, I worked on him, and I would share with his human parents what was going on in his body. And she would speak to his neurological veterinarian, who was many miles away, and tell him what I found. And when the dog would go in for the next checkup, it was validated. And slowly, another interspecies communicator finally got me to acknowledge the gift that I've been blessed with. And it's an amazing gift, and it does bring me to tears many times because some of the messages are very sad that these animals have. So I do have the blessing and the responsibility of speaking with more animals than human animals that have crossed over and that are still here. And Ted knows I had wanted to tell this story on the radio a number of times about the pit bull that really knocked any kind of denial out of my life. And every time I wanted to tell the story, this little chihuahua, Wendy, who had crossed over, Wendy would always run in and for a very tiny dog, ancient dog, would come up with some powerful messages. But Alto was a dog that left me where I couldn't deny it anymore. I had gone to a friend's house to have a practitioner's afternoon, Reiki practitioners. And this beautiful, pure white pit bull was there. And I must say, I was intimidated. He was huge, and he looked me directly in the eye. And I had a cookie in my pocket for whatever reason, no coincidences. And I said, here's the cookie. And I'm not looking at him. And his owner was not there. I said, oh, this is really great. I love animals, but he's making me nervous. His owner is not here. He's in this woman's house, and here comes this other woman who's obviously a little taken back by him. And my friend Jackie said, why don't you sit on the couch and we'll wait for the guys to come back and then we'll start the Reiki. And she's a darling, and I hope she's listening to this because she needs new furniture. Because she and Mel, her darling husband, have been married almost 40 years and they've never bought a new couch. So sitting on the couch, I was sitting on the floor. So Aldo, we were eye to eye, and I gave him the last cookie I had. And I was sweating. So very shortly after my sweating, his human came in. Very nice man, a little odd like the rest of us here. And I was on the massage table, and the dog, Aldo, was to my right. And thinking nothing, I put, you know, a crystal that I was wearing, I put it by my between my heart and my solar plexus, and closed my eyes just to lie there and enjoy the Reiki session. And Aldo started showing me what had happened in his life. And I will probably cry a little on this, but it was just so profound. He had seen his female human murdered. The gentleman that was there, I knew he had been married. I didn't know if he was divorced. I knew nothing about him, never met him, heard anything about him before. And his wife at the time had rescued Alto and the litter somewhere in Maine, and it was freezing cold, and these dogs were freezing to the concrete of a barn floor. So they found homes for the others. She kept him, and because they had a farm, he was always in her barn jacket pocket, and she would feed him. So he grew up with her heartbeat. This was the love of his life. And these people came in. It was two men and a woman, and Aldo saw her being murdered. And from whatever was happening, he was unable to assist her. And he showed me the whole thing. He showed me the color of the truck. He showed me similar, like, outlines of what the people looked like, and just hysterical crying of this poor dog, what he had to see suffering, and this human suffering. And calm down, and we go back to the Reiki, and then I said, I'm sorry, he's not done. And I started becoming nauseated, and I said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm smelling as if somebody has thrown up. And the husband, the widower, said to me, in the truck, that's what they found. Someone had thrown up. They didn't know if it was her. So after that experience, I realized I had to stop denying that part of the gift that I have to share in this physical existence. I'm also blessed to have a wonderful cable public access show called Phoenix Rising. And someday, Ted, you will be on and be my guest. And I hope you all can come on. That would be some show. We'd have a ball. I do practice at the SUAH Center. That's SUAH, and you could look it up online. It's the SUAH Center for Natural Wellness in good old downtown Riverhead, New York. It's an amazing, amazing healing center. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher. I also practice different shamanic healings, and a number of my patients come to me with profound illnesses such as cancer, which I never put a capital C by. And so far, we've done some amazing shamanic surgeries, which are non-invasive, which are amazing. And so far, you know, thank the universe and all of the guides and angels, these people have come through with not having to have any surgeries. So for me, I believe I'm a conduit. And whatever my guides tell me to do, I now have learned to do my very best to listen, because when I don't listen, I get into a lot of trouble. You know, when they say go left, I go left now instead of going right, because something looks interesting there. And I guess that's really enough. You've had enough of me now. I will take my broom and fly back to my place at the main table. Okay? Take your headset back for whatever. And thank you. And everyone, come down. Please come down or call in. It's going to be an absolutely amazing, amazing weekend. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, Phoenix, so much for coming on. Well, we have another special, very special guest, Mr. Tanaka from Tokyo, Japan. And I want everyone, he's a wonderful man interested in water research, but I'm also improving the planet and making a far better and happier place, which fits in the goals perfectly of both my radio show and the Galactic Wisdom Conference. So, Mr. Tanaka, please explain a little bit about your interests.
Well, today I'm happy to be here, and I'm not ready for anything at all. And I won't speak about water, because I do not have any knowledge at all, no sufficient knowledge. Well, I'd like to talk about a little Japanese wisdom, perhaps. This is not really ancient time, but it's just maybe before World War, and still Japan is not really rich country, or very poor. And there's a mountain area, a small isolated village, and not very few people is living there. But nearest town where the doctor is about, we need, because it's surrounded by the mountains. We have to go detours. It takes almost 1 day. And the closest way is just bypass the mountain. It's a steep hills, very rocky. It's almost difficult to twist it uncle or turn it itself. And it, because that was everybody in the town and the village is prohibited to use that closest road over the mountains. It's a wisdom. It's all, it was told not to do that such things. However, there's a families and the small children got sick. Somebody has to go to the doctor to get bring him back. And then what happened is the father's father, grandfather, that's about my age. And he's maybe live another 10 years if he's lucky. And in the village, that was said, anybody try to go through the steep hills, and if he get injured, only can live 2 years. And in every 2 years, people must die. So the father, grandfather did, okay, I cannot live another 10 years. So maybe make it 3 is okay, because I sacrificed myself for the grandchildren. And he did it. And he successfully brought back the doctor. However, he just got the twisted ankles. And he can live only 3 years. And what people in the village did was bring him, go back to that hill, on top of this pass, together with everybody's. And intentionally tumbled 10 times. Then he gets 3 times 10. Can you make the calculation?
30.
He got another 30 years extra life. And that's a sort of wisdom we have. So to bring peace into the world, we have to do a lot of things. We have to be patient. We have to be also very cautious. And sometimes we have to work together. And so we have to have a peaceful mind. So that's my what I'm thinking. So just my introductions. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Tanaka-san, for coming on today. I'm really happy that you're here with your friend Ihan. I pronounced his name correctly. Good. Learning today at the conference. If you're busy, I know a lot of people are busy working, you can come for a day or two. Now, this is Lois Berman. I want to finish up this hour and continue on to the next hour with Lois. Lois, hi. Welcome.
Hey, well, thank you, Ted. Nice to see you.
Thank you, my friend. It's lovely to see you, too.
Well, thanks.
Now, I think you're all set up there. You've got 2 minutes.
Okay, 2? That's all?
No, I'll give you more time next hour. If you give me a small tip. No.
Okay.
No, you've got about...
I'll see you after the conference. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And I have an incredible story about how I became a psychiatric nurse, and now I'm sitting here talking about a spiritual journey. But you will have to come tomorrow to find out the whole story. And people ask me what I do, and I guess I'm a repair worker. You know, I don't know of anyone that I've not met in this lifetime that has some issue, some question, how do I do this? Why do I feel that? How do I let go of things that burden me? And I think we can all relate to that. So something that I'm going to do now is that I'm going to open this room up now, and I'm going to ask somebody, if I have time, maybe several, I would like someone to ask me a question about something they would like to know or something I can help them with here today. So don't all raise your hands at once. So somebody be the first person. Yeah.
I have a mother who's going through an incident.
Pardon me?
I have a mother who's going through an incident. Now, I just found out when I came back from Denver last year to help her that she's also been an alcoholic for 3 years. I had no idea.
Okay.
So how do you, I've really had to deal with suppressing my anger, my surprise, my shock about this, because 300 siblings knew about this for 20 years. I didn't know.
Okay.
I know it's not me, but God, it's
I can understand your anger and I can understand your frustration, but you are a higher energy, and perhaps, and you know, sometimes that's tough to be the higher energy. Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility. But right now, you have to understand that your mother's abuse started before she became an alcoholic. And that's very shameful. You know, I'm sure if we went around the room, yourself or someone who doesn't readily talk about that issue. So it's not the alcoholism, it's the abuse that she never recovered from. And for her to have to live with that secret, and for her to have to deal with that, I think is probably...